This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio by
Audrey Raj.
It is 12:06, and did you hear what Caroline just said there, Audrey? And, you know, don't behave badly for our own collective sanity, so behave yourself while you're here in the
studio. I will try, Rich.
Do your very best, yes? Anyway, today we are talking about from the great resignation to the great upgrade, according to some people. Executives and employees are changing the workplace narrative from the great resignation to the great upgrade. This movement demands that organizations refocus on improving their people's experience and puts a renewed emphasis on retention, an opportunity for organizations to transform themselves to meet the evolving needs of their workforce. So how can companies keep the great talent they already have, attract new talent to best complete their teams and align with the needs of the new way of work?
Yeah.
So the past 2 years has changed the world of work forever.
Oh, yeah.
Just a little bit. And if you're like, you've read a lot of articles explaining why and how so much has changed. So let's have a chat about that. But what's lacking is any insight into what's next. What are organizations supposed to do now that their people are reevaluating their relationships with their jobs and looking at what opportunities other companies are offering? And according to an article from Forbes, it all comes back to listening, truly giving your people a chance to share their needs, their concerns, and their stories.
Hear, hear.
In doing so, you're able to gain valuable insights and build programs that are effectively tailored to your employees. Now, we have a few of the strategies.
Strategies?
That's the word. you can implement within the team and company to make sure your employees, as well as your leaders, are heard, supported, and positioned to succeed.
Yeah. So first up, a shift to employee-focused strategies. Now, a company is only as good as its team members, and keeping them engaged is, of course, priority number one. With this in mind, continually revisit your ways of working and offerings to ensure you are providing a people-focused experience to your employees that matches the current environment. And this should result in, well, a new holistic approach to, you know, your benefits or maybe an emphasis on developing leaders, team leads in your organization, and implementing initiatives to support and be more connected with your employees during times of uncertainty. And you should also try to home in on those high performers. You know, ultimately aim to cultivate a high performing workforce and ecosystem where employees can achieve their life's best work. You can even adjust the KPIs or your key performance indicators to kind of reflect this focus. You know, you can redefine your KPIs to focus on retaining high performing employees, and you'll also double down on your best talent, and you'll also be investing in your people.
Yeah, and another step is to look at employee well-being through a kind of, well, a holistic lens. A big part of an employee's ability to feel supported is feeling healthy, right? And to help your people reach optimal health, you change your focus to holistic well-being versus purely traditional physical and medical benefits. And by adopting a more well-rounded approach, you can distribute your benefits over all avenues of wellness and focus on your employees' physical, mental, financial, and social health.
Social health.
Yeah, it's also great to be able to help, you know, through uncertainty. And for over 2 years, the pandemic has forced us to navigate these, you know, uncharted territories, both at work and in our daily lives. And to help team members facing hardship or unexpected life events, consider launching an employee resource fund. A great idea to provide assistance and financial support.
All right. You also need to level up your leaders, like we mentioned earlier, right? You know, in the era of the great upgrade, style of leadership has never been more important given its direct effect on retention. Now, what is expected from leaders now, you know, this year in 2022 is different from what it used to be.
Yeah.
While strategic perspective and financial acumen remain desired traits in a leader, after the last 2 years, the ability to connect and listen to your employees has become equally important. Now, compassionate leadership has finally gained a prominent seat at the table, so you'll need to invest in leadership development, because leadership is actually learned. You know, you don't have to be a born leader. These traits can actually be learned. And providing leaders with guidance and support for them to be successful should be a top priority for all organizations. Investing in the professional development of your people goes a long way toward helping them become more empathetic and inclusive leaders, and also provide them with coach-based training and the tools and resources necessary to help them lead their teams, and of course create a more welcoming and open culture.
Speaking of that, you've got to maintain a transparent culture as well. This is a big thing. And one of the ways you can maintain transparency and ensure your leaders are aligned with your organizational strategy is by spending a lot of time building awareness and reinforcing your enterprise-wide goals and your cultural expectations around leadership. You know, that includes things like focus time, helping your teams better understand how their roles play into the bigger picture. The Society for Human Resources, SHRM, emphasizes that for leadership development initiatives to be truly effective, they should align with an organization's corporate strategy and offer development opportunities that are tailored to the individual employee. Finally, you must create opportunities to listen. Developing your emerging leaders is critical to creating a well-led organization, and it's also crucial to make sure leaders are dialed into the current workplace climate. You can even conduct Ask Me Anything sessions.
AMAs.
Where employees are able to directly ask questions. However, be prepared for answers you may not want to hear. And more importantly, take action accordingly.
Yeah, so as the workforce continues to evolve from the great resignation to now this great upgrade, it's a good time to immerse ourselves back into our organizations and connect with our people, you know, to ensure we are inspiring and supporting compassionate leadership and, you know, try to create that employee-first culture.
Yeah. Right. So after the break, we'll be hearing from our colleague, Christine Wong, she'll be speaking with Mei Hua Chan, the Regional Director of Global Recruitment Consultant Agency, Michael Page, Malaysia, for more insights on the Great Resignation and how companies can move forward. That's all coming up after the break, so don't go anywhere. Me and Owen are going to take a short break with some music from Mr. Bob Dylan with Positively Fourth Street here. We'll be right back after these messages here on Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Be free, Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury, joined in the studio by
Audrey Raj.
Today, we're talking about the Great Resignation. Yet again.
And we're also talking about the great upgrade. A quick recap if you missed the first part of the show. We were discussing how moving forward, the new way of working and how to make things, well, work in your organization is to have a couple of things. You need to upgrade your leadership team, you know, get them to be more empathetic. They need to listen to your employees. You need to encourage an employee first culture. And you need to also create a more transparent in an open culture. Anything I missed out there, Rich?
No, but I think we'll probably hear from our colleague, Christine, who, of course, did manage to speak with Mei Hua Chan. She's the regional director for Michael Page Malaysia, on the phone with them right now. So over to you, I guess, Chris. Me and you can just take a little bit of a break Chris does all the work. Chris.
I'm Christine Wong. Here on the line with me is Mei Hua Chan, Regional Director for Michael Page Malaysia. So thanks very much, Mei, for joining us today on the show.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me today.
All right. So first of all, why and how hard is the Great Resignation hitting Malaysia?
Yeah, that's really the big question, isn't it? I think now when I'm talking to my clients, this seems to be the very real common trend and challenge that most organizations are facing. Clearly, it is real. There is definitely a huge wave of resignations happening. I wouldn't say just in recent. Truly, in the last 2 years with the pandemic, clearly resignation was a lot less. People were not really feeling assured to move with so much uncertainty. But now, as we move into pandemic, we're already starting to see more and more movement. And even from our report and the talent trend, there's actually more than 50% of candidates actually looking to leave in the next 6 months. Right, so that's real numbers based on the data that we see, and So there's different reasons that we can talk about. But I think what most clients and organizations need to realize that, you know, it is happening, you know, not just about people in your organization will leave, but you have to think about your best talents internally will probably be poached and be offered opportunities. So thinking about what to do now and retaining your best talents can be more important than any other time.
Absolutely. And before we get to more of the internal strategy, I guess, for an organization, with introductions of policies like, for example, we have this new 1,500 ringgit minimum wage. What governmental resources do you know of that are potentially available for continued talent attraction and retention?
Yeah, there is clearly a talent court program that I'm sure most, you know, people know Aishah Hope because it is meant to be a program to attract Malaysians that's actually not in Malaysia. I mean, the reality of the talent landscape is, you know, Malaysia is actually a huge export of talent. We, you know, it's very multicultural. Talents here are very versatile. They're multilingual. I've seen, you know, clients from all parts of the world, more than open to actually hiring Malaysians talent, right? So that's already a key issue because already we're finding it tough here, but we're also losing talents outside of Malaysia. Talent Corp is actually set up to look at giving different incentives for Malaysians to come back. You know, I know there's tax exemption, tax relief as well, you know, when it comes to purchasing a car. And then I think it's first 2 to 3 years that, you know, they will be paying less tax just to really make it a little bit more attractive, you know, for them to come home and explore opportunities, right? There's also another initiative that I don't think a lot of organizations know. So there's actually this HRDF fund. We're all paying at 1% of our salary into this fund. And, you know, technically, we're actually able to use this fund and sort of use vendors as it's approved by the government to look into internal training, development as well. Because if you think about upskilling and training, this is actually going to be a very big topic that's part of the report as well, right? Because retaining your talent, a lot of it is about looking at the different development plans and opportunities to progress and develop them, right? So I think that's actually a really good initiative for, you know, companies to actually look at, right? Because it's actually government supported. And there is actually a list of, you know, vendors that you can actually look into to sort of expand your current training program. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. All right. So let's start to break this down. For companies who have been hit hard by the Great Resignation, where should they start in reassessing essentially what went wrong?
Yeah. You know, I think too many times companies spend so much time and money firefighting. You know, when I say firefighting, it's when, you know, you're losing talent and you know that you have a gap. And the immediate thing is, oh, you know, let's just pay them more money. Let's counter offer that talent. Let's look at what our hiring strategy and finding to replace that position, right? Because the reality when things happen, you don't have so much time to think and plan. The only thing you need is to sort of fill that gap immediately. And for you to think ahead, you know, what we really need to think about is not so much of the recruitment strategy, right? I mean, it sounds ironic. I work for a global recruitment consultancy firm, right? When more clients hire, that's more business for us, right? But that's not always the case as well, because we also want to place talents into organizations that will stay at least 3 to 4 years, right? But the real challenge is that's not always the case, right? And, you know, my advice for organizations to really think about how are you going to really diverge into some of the exit interviews, right? If you're already getting people leaving, you know, assess that conversation. Let's not go into firefighting mode. The one trait that I find most leaders and in organizations struggle to have is really that real ability to have active listening, right? To let go of all egos that, you know, your company is the best. Let me just listen to this individual and what they're telling you, right? How often are we really taking the feedback on board seriously and taking action, right? Not that immediate pushback, you know, and I feel really doing something about those feedback that you get and then identifying how you're going to fix those issues, right? Because generally, over the years, my 11 years in recruitment, there's always going to be certain very common reasons why people leave a certain organization. Okay, there's not always going to be so many different kind of reasons. And if you can identify that, you know, within not just a HR responsibility, you should really work with the leaders of the business and look at okay, what can we do to really identify these and have an action plan, right, to make sure it's really the accountability of the leaders that are going to be hiring, that are going to be managing the people in the organization to really initiate these action points, right? So think about thinking ahead rather than firefighting.
So first of all, it's not just treating the symptoms, it's curing the disease. And second of all, it's then preventing the disease from even being caught in the first place.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
And if you look at the last 2 years, probably a lot of people hadn't really resigned because we've all been stuck in Malaysia. We can't really travel and everyone's a bit worried about leaving, even though there are still people moving jobs during the last 2 years. But I've also seen some markets where people are probably a bit more risk averse, right? At least definitely in the first year. And you know, you kind of make that assumption that, you know, my retention is great. It's not much attrition, but I can tell you that's not really, it's not a real attrition number, right? Now that the market's opening up, you know, borders are open. You know, I'll give you an example. I'm already seeing, you know, candidates getting opportunities outside of Malaysia, and there are people looking to leave the country. And then we're also not losing just to organization in Malaysia, but also, you know, competitors outside of Malaysia, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, before it happens, you know, we need to really engage in those conversations. You know, the career chats that I find we don't have enough consistently with the people in our company, right? Actually asking the question how they're doing, where they're at in their career and what they want to do next, you know? I always say to my, you know, to people, you know, when your people resign, it shouldn't really be such a huge surprise if you're really close enough with your employees, right? But of course, that feedback is really direct to hiring managers and organizations.
Brilliant. And so following up from that, would you say there are some industries that are hit harder by the Great Resignation than others? Maybe those more prone to, you know, a burnout or anything like that. I don't know. What's your perspective on that?
Yeah. Clearly, the last few years, there's some industries like airlines and hospitality, tourism, you know, property, they've been really massively impacted. So I have seen talents actually making a move from that industry to say, look, you know, we've tried, it's just, we don't see a future. You know, I want to try something different. Right. Airline obviously has been the obvious one. I think in our report, there is actually an actual example of a case study that a global bank hire all these airline staff and actually upskill them into the business. Right. Because clearly there's not enough talent when borders are closed. So thinking a little bit more creatively to hire differently. Right. But I would definitely see that there's some of these industries that was much more affected. However, even across all industry, it's still pretty high. If you look at the report that shows beyond just the one that I mentioned, right? It's an average of 50% of people planning to resign the next 6 months across all industry.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So quite high numbers.
Very, very high number indeed, and nothing to scoff at for sure. Now, I don't know about you. I think there has been this idea that, you know, a lot of people who hire base what they think incoming talent wants on the generation they're from. What would you say are the dangers of generalizing by generation when it comes to adjusting for what incoming talent actually wants?
Yeah, that's a really good question, don't we? I mean, we all make such big assumptions about segments of people, right? Oh, the millennials, they're going to be more needy. They need this, they need more attention. But you know, I actually think it's really dangerous to do that. Right, especially where we're at right now, right? And why I'm saying that is, like, look, by generalizing, you're potentially missing out on a huge opportunity of embracing this big shift in the big resignation era, right? If anything, the pandemic has really shifted work culture, right? And mindsets and values. You know, I'm not sure about you, Christine, but, you know, that first year of the pandemic was probably the year that I think it's changed me the most. You know, it's made me reflect. When I was stuck, not being able to go anywhere, and you appreciate the small little things, right? And when work and family and personal time all kind of, it all sort of, you know, combined into one physical space, people now view work and lives more holistically, right? And, you know, every employee now are actually reevaluating what really constitutes quality work, right? Because they now want it to be purposeful, right? Because it's no longer that I can leave home and, you know, it's just sort of, it's a very different sort of dynamics now. So I don't even think it's just, you know, Gen X to millennials to baby boomers will think differently, right? Because the pandemic has affected all of us in a slightly different way, but then we're all sort of gone through that same situation that it's all neighbors to me, right? And I think that's the main part. Making that assumption of these generation is going to be a huge mistake, right? And we have to treat everyone the same way and really engage where people are at, right? What are they really thinking? Because most people would think money is the most important thing when we move job, right? I'm sure. I mean, we both agree money's important, can't feed our family, hygiene factors. But if you review the report, amazingly, it's a big stats that actually, if I recall right, 68%. These are people that actually would forego more money to actually focus on moving into an organization that has more focus on their health, their well-being. These are actually the softer motivators are becoming more and more important, right?
Brilliant.
Can I get that? I think it's because of the year of the pandemic has just really shifted everyone's mindset.
We've all had to reevaluate for sure, definitely. Yeah. It's time for a short break though, but do keep the thought and do stay on the line with us, May. I'm speaking to May Wah Chan, Regional Director for Michael Page Malaysia.
Wow, she even told everybody we're going for a break as well.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for that, Chris. We will be taking a short break now. If you've got anything you want to get in touch with us about, you can get us via WhatsApp, of course, 018-789-8899. Get us on Twitter. We are at BFM Radio. Another break with some more music. Third Eye Blind with Semi-Charmed Life. Chris and May will be back after the break, of course, as will me and Audrey, even though we're just sat here, you know, listening to them two talk.
Yeah.
All right. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Build Fairer Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. It's me and Auds and Christine on the phone line with us today. Of course, we're talking about the Great Resignation yet again today, but more importantly, why leaders need to pay attention and what the next steps are towards the Great Upgrade.
Yeah, and Christine is on the line, and with her, she has May Wah Chan, the Regional Director of Michael Page Malaysia. Christine, take it away.
I'm Christine Wong, and on the line with me today is May Wah Chan, Regional Director for Michael Page Malaysia, and today we're talking all about the Great Resignation. So my next question for you is, in the report that Michael Page released, you guys mentioned something called a talent brand. What is a talent brand, and how can investing in it help a company?
Yeah. If you look back, probably maybe our parents' generation, right? They traditionally would look at the big brands. You know, when I graduate, I want to work for, you know, some of the biggest top tier companies, whatnot. And that's like, you know, it's like status, right? And that's the impression that most people get. But, you know, like just in the start of this year, I've been talking to, you know, these are big global companies. Right. And then he's sharing with me some real challenges about hiring. They now realize that having that big brand doesn't actually work anymore. And they're really feeling the pinch. Because if you think about organization, if they have a great brand, yes, it's a good start. But I think now the competition is no longer just about the big business. You have your startup, you have your smaller businesses, you know, working in beanbags. It's just a very different dynamic. Right. And people are really invested a lot more about what the purpose of the company is doing, right? What drives them? What's the culture? How do they value people? Because talent brand is really focused on more so of your company culture, right? And the employee experience. And this is just so different. I'm sure there are some organizations that are much more ahead, but there's still a lot of companies that don't think that way, right? So the brand is not just about, yes, having a good brand is important, but you need to think about what sets you apart. Right? What's your core values? What are some of the things that you stick by that every single leaders in your business live and breathe it, right? Because we, as I mentioned earlier, monetary may still be the main motivator for employees, right? However, more than ever, you know, people now like to feel valued, right? And they like to be heard by the employers.
Right.
So in a world where money is no longer the sole motivator, you know, organizations need to move towards creating a more positive and meaningful company culture, right? And that experience piece. And that's what the talent brand is really all about, right? The so-called soft factors, you know, like gratitude, recognition, appreciation, work-life balance, all the other stuff that you don't necessarily talk about in just the actual brand itself.
And I would also argue that, you know, in terms of branding as well, some of the bigger brands are now associated with a lifestyle that is no longer complementary to what we want out of life, right? So that's another element where I think it's not just about, you know, the talent brand is important because I think a lot of companies maybe mistake branding just for consumer purposes and drawing in consumers, but not necessarily drawing in talent. And that's a separate kind of branding you need to be aware of as well, right?
Yeah. If you want your employees to go out there and represent your services, your products the same way, actually it starts from them. Think about it. People make the biggest part of your business. Without the talent, there's no business. You can't operate,
absolutely,
right? And I just, and sometimes it's just a bit of a shift in mindset, right? A shift in focus to think a little bit different. But I see too many global, not to say global company, even companies, it's all about driving profits. We want to make money, which of course, that's the main, it's important. But then think about it, without these people, are you going to make that profit? So it's almost a reverse thought process of, you know, thinking what's actually more important. And if you think, if you're focusing on what the talent wants and bringing in the right people that represents your business, actually the revenue and the profit will come, right? So, you know, I think that's the bit that a lot of people do miss out.
And speaking of another factor that a lot of people miss out on, one of the other factors that helps really greatly with talent attraction and retention is diversity, equity, and inclusion. And a company stands on that. And that's part of the talent branding as well. I mean, look, how can Malaysian companies improve in this regard?
Oh, gosh. This is like, you know, look, I've been known to be such a direct and open person. So I hope I don't offend anyone. We have a long way to go. You know, look, Malaysia is very unique. I mean, I'm Malaysian and you know, we are, you know, we're so multicultural. I reckon there's so many different ethnicity, right? And I'm sure each and every single one of you would have felt being a minority before. I'm pretty sure, right? And that's just so this so historical integration of that multifaceted culture and race and whatnot. And that's just such a, you know, there's so many traditional mindset and stereotype that happens, right? Now, I'll throw it out there. You know, whoever's listening, I'm pretty sure, you know, we've all gone through that road where you look at a profile and go, no, that person's not good in this, or that person usually does not perform well in a sales job, or I'd rather find someone like that. You know, I lived and worked in the UK for 10 years, and, you know, clearly UK is very strict when it comes to Dean and I, and coming home was a real big shift because, you know, I never want to judge. I think everyone has a capability. You know, we should really not look at, you know, race, gender, sexual orientation, whatever, right? But I think because of a lot of the rooted history of how we view Malaysians, you know, naturally there's just so many common things that we do that we don't even realize that it's just all this unconscious bias, right? And for us to get there, you know, we really need to, like, we need to start internally first in terms of the education. Okay, because if you're not having a open, diverse, inclusive way of hiring, actually, you're missing out a huge opportunity of the talents that, you know, you may not be considering, right? Which is very ironic, right? Because I just said to you, many organizations I'm working with tells me that it's challenging, it's really tough to hire, but yet, you know, I'm pretty sure most of them are not, you know, open enough, diverse enough to think broader, look beyond just what they usually assess and find those talents. Right. And if you look at our report, it's very, very clear across all broad, as of course, of the younger future talent, they are going to assess this. They're going to look at it and go, you know, is this company diverse? You know, do they have a D&I agenda and looking at having a diverse culture? And it's going to be a very big part for you to attract talents.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Especially in this genre now.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, we talked about it earlier where some companies are still treating having, you know, a good company culture or work culture with this sort of like beanbags and pool tables, frivolous approach, instead of solving the issue that is the shifting priorities of the workforce. I mean, you've kind of touched on it already, but tell me a little bit, why will this mindset hurt in the long run? And what are the steps towards breaking out of that mindset as well that, oh, you know, this is just something silly that, like, young people care about?
It's just assumptions, right? If only we can just stop assumptions, right? Like, how do you really know? I mean, we all know the things that we know, but are you 100% sure that your view is always right?
I guess just ask, right?
just ask or just rethink, right? I've been recently reading, this book, Rethink by Adam Grant, and it's a great one. It just makes you really shift your mindset, right? Your views and viewpoint, you might think it's right, but then it might not 100% be right. But you've got nothing to lose if you really hear out what other people think, right? And if only people stop assuming, right, and influence and go deeper into those conversations with people, right? Let your employees have a voice. What have you got to lose, right? Definitely. You'd be amazed. You'd be amazed to ask a very simple, open question, which I tend to think that we don't do well enough in that, yeah, right?
And also asking a question and setting your ego aside as well. It may not be the answer you want to hear.
Yeah. that ego, it's big. I think everyone has an ego.
Yeah,
right?
Of course.
But if you really want a successful business, that commitment needs to start from every single person in that leadership team, right?
Yeah.
Because my big question for everyone to think about is how many companies really commit to running, have your say survey, getting feedback from everyone. So because I think companies do that, but the other part, which, even over the years when we do our have your say survey is, are we doing something about it, right? People will give you the feedback, but then what really matters is what are you doing?
The action, yes.
Right? The action. Actually even showing that you can't change everything. We can't, right? The reality. But even you acknowledging and hearing them out and looking at different ways to acknowledge, it's actually a really good start, for me, it's just try not to think this is what works. Invest into some of those feedback think about what your people and your company does rather than what other company does, because everyone's different. Every company is different. You have to stick by to your purpose and your values and just really be confident about this is what we represent, right? And attract those talents for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so my next question is, we talked about monetary motivation before, and it's a fact. Salaries need to be increased, period. At the very least, to keep up with rising cost of living. But would providing an increased salary above the bare minimum, just keeping up with the cost of inflation, contribute to overall worker satisfaction?
Yeah. Well, my answer is yes and no. I do agree. Prices, inflation, everything's getting really, really expensive in Malaysia. And I have a friend that, came back for holiday from Singapore, and she was complaining everything's really expensive, even though she's earning in Sing dollars, right? But over, my 11 years of experience, I've seen monetary, of course, can be a major factor, right? But even years back, it's not always the main one as well. I've seen far too many candidates. I'm talking about from mid-level to very senior, right? Where they pay top dollars. Mm-hmm. And let's just say they moved to a job because the pay was great. But if the role isn't exciting enough, challenging, or, give them the intrinsic drive, most of the time I've still seen, candidates coming back to us and go, I'm looking out.
Yeah.
Right. So that's why I say yes and no. We have to consider all aspects, and to give you an example, in Malaysia, believe it or not, when candidates resign, it's very, very common. Most organization counter offer.
Hmm.
Okay. Because it's so hard to hire.
Yeah.
The demand is higher than the supply. That's very common. Clearly there's some candidates who will take a counter offer. Even though we always talk about, you should really consider why you want to leave before, even thinking about moving, right? So mm-hmm. You shouldn't really consider a counter offer if you want to leave. But people still do. And, 9 out of 10, in less than a year, 6 to 12 months, they'll end up looking again.
So, what other benefits or incentives that aren't monetary then? What are the things that need to be considered in order to continue to attract and retain talent?
We talk a lot about the soft motivators, right?
Mm.
They're things like, do you think about the culture and your values in your company, right? Because a lot more, employees now are looking to, working in a company where there is really a sense of purpose, right? If I'm getting paid lots of good money, but then if I don't have a sense of purpose, then, people won't really stay too long as well. And that's the reason why there are far too many people that are still looking to leave, right? Look at your development plan. The one great thing that we've done many surveys over the years, Malaysians do seek out for that development, the opportunity to progress, to get exposure, which is a really good trait. It's not all about the money, right? Mm. So how are you engaging your talent to look at that development plan? You know, whether it's moving talents, doing different roles to keep them engaged, right? Talking about the career, their career movements, learning new skills, upskilling. Like, these are the things that that also keeps people really motivated, right? And driven in the role, right? So I think we need to really think beyond just the pay. Right? There's actually a lot more of the soft motivators.
Brilliant. All right. Well, thank you very much, May, for speaking to me today all about the Great Resignation.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm Christine Wong, and I've been speaking to May Wah Chan, Regional Director for Michael Page Malaysia.
Thanks, Chris and May, for those insights. You know, and that on that last point about it not being just about the pay.
Mm.
Definitely.
Spot on.
Yes, 100%.
It's time for us to wrap up for the day, isn't it? I've almost felt like, Audrey, that we came into the office on air and just gave it to Christine. We could do that more often, right?
It was a cheap show. We should do this more often. Yeah. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Chris. All right, it's time for us to wrap up. If you did miss any part of this show, though, don't forget the podcast will be available shortly. Download it wherever you normally get it from. We recommend you use the BFM app. That's available from the Apple App Store or Google Play. I'll be back tomorrow with Frida.
Possibly.
Same time, same place here on BFM 89.9, the business station. We're back tomorrow, folks. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.